Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots, off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... Another jam-packed two-hour program on the way to you. We've got Jamie Hirsch from the NHL Network. She's going to be joining us around 4:30 or so to talk Stanley Cup Final, the Edmonton Oilers, the Florida Panthers, and what the avenue is for the Oilers to get themselves back into a series that they have not looked particularly good in through the first two games. We're also going to be joined by Ash Watkins from Sam and Ash Law. That's going to be coming at you just before the ending of hour number one, and we are going to talk Joey Chestnut and legal action. That's right, Joey Chestnut. What course does he have to get himself back into the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest legally, or does it even matter because there was some movement on that story today? We'll dive into that as well in hour number two. We're also going to give you a more optimistic approach of the Edmonton Oilers. I recognize that yesterday was a tough listen for Oilers fans. I don't know how many Oilers fans are actually tuning into the VGK Insider Show. That's a story for another day.
Great observation.
But if they did, I'm sure they weren't particularly happy with us yesterday. So I'm going to give three reasons why I believe the Edmonton Oilers can get back into the series. That's going to come at you in hour number two. Chapman, I hope you've got three reasons of your own for why the Oilers can get back into the series. I think I took the three best ones. You're going to be left with three of the other ones, but I think we can paint a picture here for an avenue, at least for the Oilers, to push this into territory where I don't want to say the series outcome is in doubt, but at least it gives us a little bit more intrigue as the series shifts to Edmonton. And I'll tell you, we want to be intrigued by what happens on the ice, because the most intriguing thing that has happened so far today in the National Hockey League when it comes to the Stanley Cup Final is that we didn't know when the Florida Panthers were going to actually get in the air and fly out to Edmonton. Florida, their flight to Edmonton was today. There was inclement weather, quite a big storm there. They were delayed at least a couple of hours, and I believe their plane took off somewhere around 3 o'clock local time, Eastern time zone. So it's likely that the Florida Panthers are going to get in late tonight in Edmonton, and they're going to be tired tomorrow because they didn't travel yesterday like the Oilers did. They waited until today to travel, and that might just be a talking point going into the game tomorrow.
Well, yeah, the weather in South Florida has been pretty bad. I've been reading that a lot of airlines have pretty much canceled all of their operations out of the city. Apparently, it's not so bad in Miami or Palm Beach, but for some reason, Fort Lauderdale, I've read parts of Interstate 95 are closed, and they're it's weird because I've got family down there, and it's strange because everyone thinks that everything is the same, right? Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Miami is like 40 minutes away. Palm Beach is like another 40 minutes away. But when they get the weather down there, I mean, there was a time last year where they had severe flooding around the airport. Parts of the airport were underwater just based upon some heavy rain. So there's clearly some issues in that particular area when they do get the heavy rains. And right now being one of those, and I think the reason why they did not leave yesterday, now, they should have foreseen the weather forecast and made an audible. But generally, I think they leave because I think they want guys to be able to stay in their own homes, be with their families one extra night. And I understand that. But yeah, the idea of, hey, guess what, guys? We're having bad weather coming in. Maybe we should leave the day before. It seems like a strange adjustment to not make.
Wouldn't you just want to get there as quickly as possible so that you can acclimatize as quickly as possible? And listen, I know you're not going across three time zones here, but there's a couple of time zones that you're traveling to get from Florida to Edmonton. I would just imagine that you'd want an extra day to shake off the rust you're going to get in your legs from the flight. Like, I would have assumed, and this was me wrongly assuming, I would have assumed that the Florida Panthers would have traveled yesterday, just like the Edmonton Oilers. You get in, you allow yourself a full day of rest to get yourself ready to go, and then you've got the game. Now, instead of having to sit, you know, in limbo for 3 hours today before you get on that long flight, and now you're not going to have a full day between, you know, getting into Edmonton and playing the game.
Yeah, it's really a mistake, and I think it's one that they may feel the effects of it. Now, I can see right now their flight is in the air. They're somewhere over, it looks like, Iowa. I'm like tracking their
Look
flight.
At you.
Yeah, I'm tracking their flight. So the good news is it's like every seat on their plane is first class. So I don't think they need to particularly, you know, worry. It's not like they're you and me flying coach and being cramped. I mean, you don't fly a lot in general. So, like,
no,
I know it's not a comfortable thing for you. I fly a lot less than I used to just because I'm generally annoyed by air travel today. So, yeah, I mean, at least, you know, they've got probably every seat on the plane is a first class seat. They probably recline. I know guys find ways to entertain themselves, whether they play cards or sleep or watch movies or whatever. But I mean, it's a long flight.
Mario
Ryan.
Kart. Yes, Mario Kart is the big thing with the Edmonton Oilers. Mario Kart. So allow me a tangent here, because that's kind of the bigger development when it comes to on air or in the air entertainment for these guys, because a lot's been made out of the distance between Edmonton and Florida and the plane rides and the extra day of travel and all of that stuff. A lot's been made of that. And the Oilers, they've talked about pretty openly that there is a contingent on the team that plays Mario Kart on the plane. That's what they do. Leon Draisaitl says that he lives to annoy Cody Ceci. Listen, if I were around Cody Ceci, I'd live to annoy him too. But what character do you think Leon Draisaitl goes to when he plays Mario Kart? Like I'm going to tell you right now, I am a Waluigi guy. I've always been a Waluigi guy. I don't know why I'm a Waluigi guy. I just always gravitate toward Waluigi. I win more often than I lose when it comes to Mario Kart. I hate it when I'm leading a race and then that blue turtle shell gets me.
Oh, that's the
worst. It drives me up a wall. It drives me up a wall. But I am always a Waluigi guy. And I should amend that. Sometimes I'm Waluigi, like 95% of the time it's Waluigi. And then the other 5%, I'm Tanuki Mario. Every time. I've never played with a character other than those two. So what do you think Leon Draisaitl's go-to Mario Kart character is?
I think it's one that would probably fit his personality, and I'm going to go with Bowser. Like, I feel like Bowser would fit his personality. I mean, first of all, he's a bigger character. You know, Leon's a big guy, so he's probably not going with, like, Baby Mario or one of the terrible characters like that. He's probably an old-school guy. Bowser is an old-school character. I think he was in the very original Mario Kart. So, and he's also, he's a jerk, right? So It seems to jive. So, I mean, Bowser, listen, Bowser's kind of pissy, right? He wants Princess Toadstool. Wait, is she still Princess Toadstool? I don't even know what they call her anymore. Just Princess.
No, it's Princess Peach.
Princess. Yeah.
Like, Princess Peach.
How do we go from Princess Toadstool to Princess Peach? Because, like, she was Princess Toadstool when I was a kid, and now she's Princess Peach. But Bowser, you know, he wants to have Princess Peach all for himself, and he's pissy because here comes this plumber, and he's messing up his whole routine. He's messing up his whole day, his afternoon. So, yeah, he's a little pissy.
Not even just a plumber, but like a poor, like a bad plumber.
Yeah.
Like he's not even good at his job.
He sucks. Yeah.
You know? So.
By the way, good call, call on Waluigi. I like Waluigi myself. My kid, we play the Mario Kart on the Switch, and he kicks my butt. Like, but I've gotten better at it because originally he had like a controller, and I had to use the two little toggles on Switch, and it was so hard for me because I'm so used to having an actual controller. So he had an unfair advantage because he was using like the actual like game controller. And I'm using the little little skinny thing to try to, and he bought me a controller that I can use in Mario Kart, and it's a lot more competitive than it used to be. He generally wins more times than not, but he uses Luigi. I like Waluigi because I like the trash talk, and like when he loses, his comments are pretty epic. Like after, So I like Waluigi myself. I like to switch it up, though. Like, my kid, he sticks primarily with Luigi. I'll go DK once in a while, or I know.
No.
I like
Donkey. I don't roll with Donkey Kong. I don't roll with Bowser because I feel like those characters are too big.
And then you don't get the speed.
I get it's an algorithm and it has really not much to do with the size of the character, but for whatever reason, whenever I'm going to pick, it's always going to be a smaller character. That's why I don't go with Wario. Like I have nothing against Wario. He's too big of a character to put on, you know, the little motorbike that I'm going to use. Like it's just not, it's not worth it. Right. Exactly. So, You think Bowser for Leon Draisaitl? I think you're right on the money. Jared Justice actually threw a Bowser out for Leon as well. Let me ask about Connor McDavid. Like, what would Connor McDavid's go-to character be in Mario Kart?
Well, he's,
there's a couple that I can think of, but I want to know where you're at with that.
I think he may go with Yoshi. Right? Like Yoshi's kind of a cool character. I like Yoshi, but somehow I'm thinking he probably goes with Mario. Like cookie cutter, generic, like no real attributes that you're like, oh, he's super cool, you know, or you know, I mean, he's obviously the star, right? It's his game, Mario Kart.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah. There's nothing really about Mario personality-wise where you're like, oh, I got to use him. Like, I kind of think that Mario is a perfect character for Connor McDavid. Like, it's his game. He makes the rules. He owns the game. But
yeah,
he's kind of, well, I hate to say boring, but he's kind of boring.
No, I'm with you 100%. I think that for Connor McDavid, it's Mario all day long. And it's not even like Tanuki Mario,
version of Mario.
It's just flat out, run-of-the-mill, everyday Mario.
Yeah, he's not changing the color of Mario's outfit. He's not using a special Mario. No. He's just using plain, original Mario.
Now, I will say this. It would be funny if Connor McDavid threw a Shy Guy in there every now and again.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because I feel like from a personality standpoint, like, you know, Shy Guy kind of tracks for him.
Yes.
But he's been a lot more vocal. And I guess that's just what a trip to the Stanley Cup Final will do for you. But I don't know that that's going to track for him. I think for Connor McDavid, like, pump your own tires, man. You mentioned it. It's Mario's game. We're all just living in it.
Yeah.
Same thing for Connor McDavid with the National Hockey League, right? Like, it's his game. We are all just around to witness the greatness of Connor McDavid, though it hasn't really gotten off the track for him so far in the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Mario is You know, he's pretty much, I don't know if he's the best character in the game, but generally when people play with Mario, you're just like, eh, really? Like, you're going with? Like, Mario? Like,
I hate it. I hate it.
Have some...
I don't ever want to play against Mario.
No, because you like, feel like it's a cheat, right? Like, it's a cheat code.
Yeah. Like, the game is rigged
for
Mario.
At least with Tanuki Mario, you mix it up a little bit. I mean, he's a little raccoon dog. By the way, that's what a Tanuki is. It's a real animal. It's a real thing that exists in Japan.
Wow.
Yes.
That's cool. Yeah.
And they are dogs that look like raccoons. Like, for the longest time, I always thought, like, when Super Mario 3 came out and you could become Tanuki Mario the first time, I thought it was a raccoon. I'm like, well, what the hell's a Tanuki? It's just some made-up thing. Mm-hmm. No, Tanuki is a legit – it's a legit animal that exists in Japan. It's a raccoon dog, and believe it or not, like, they roam the streets of Tokyo. Like, you could be walking near a park, and you might see one run across the street. Like, it's a dog that looks like – I told my wife I want one as a pet, and she said there's very few times my wife says absolutely not. That was one, especially because apparently they carry diseases. But
yeah, why wouldn't they?
But
come on,
it's so cool looking. You know what? I gotta tweet a picture out for.
Well, if you're familiar with the game, like, you have an idea of what it would look like. So yes, find a real Tanuki and tweet that out, Chapman. Hit us on the text line, 702-876-1340. I know it's not hard-hitting hockey talk right now, but what do you believe, like, in your mind's eye, when you sit back and you think about Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, the Edmonton Oilers playing Mario Kart, who do you think their go-to characters are? Hit us on the text line, 702-876-1340. Best ones we'll kind of bring in here. I'm about to break some hearts, okay? Breaking news, in a sense, from the Vegas Golden Knights. We just got a press release from the Vegas Golden Knights. Relax. It's not about contracts for any players. That's the part that's going to break everyone's heart. But if you are interested, I've got some information. The annual Battle Worn Authentics equipment sale will take place Wednesday, June 26th at City National Arena. After a series of pre-sale opportunities for season ticket members, the sale will be open to the public from 3 to 6 p.m. on Rink A at City National Arena. So that's when the Golden Knights just kind of take a bunch of stuff from the previous season, and you can go through it, and you can buy game-worn stuff. So it's a really cool, unique experience. The Battle Worn Authentics equipment sale features a variety of player used and team issued equipment and apparel, including sticks, skates, gloves, jerseys, shoes, helmets, jackets, shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and more. So, you know, again, if you are a Golden Knights fan, if you are in the market for jerseys or gear or even off-ice training type stuff, this is the place to go. Wednesday, June 26th, City National Arena, open to the public from 3 to 6 p.m. on Rink A. That's the latest and greatest VGK update for you. Chapman, as you kind of go over this, I see shoes and I'm immediately drawn in.
Yeah, because
like, I don't skate as much. I don't have really much use for sticks or anything like that, but like, you want to catch my interest. Like, I'm all in on the shoes. Let's go.
Yeah, the shoes are cool. Like, I might go and see if I could find some, like, padding, right? Because this way I don't have to really worry if I fall. Mainly knee and elbow pads, because I've got a helmet, I've got my skates, but I want to protect myself a little bit more. You know, maybe if I could find, like, a practice jersey, that'd be kind of cool to wear out there on the ice while I'm skating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what else is going to be out there. Like, I don't really need a stick. I mean, I'm not planning on playing anytime soon. But Stephanie, who's been out there, she knows I enjoy the skating, but ideally, it doesn't exist. But I would love to find something that makes my feet not hurt after like two laps, because it's so. I'm like ready to tap out after two laps. I have to stop. I'll stop for like 30 seconds, sit on the bench and go skate around after that for another two laps and do it again. And I'm like, all right, I need something to keep my feet from not being sore. But I know that does not
Where
exist.
Do they hurt?
My arches.
Hold on. Where
my
do
arches.
They hurt?
My arches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get an insole.
Oh, they do sell things like that?
You can put an insole in there. 100%.
Oh. I may have to go buy some Dr. Scholl's. I'm not going to be gelling like a felon.
I mean, you absolutely have to, like, break your skates in, too. So that might be a part of it. But you can absolutely put an insole in there if you want to.
Oh, I'm totally.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I totally have to do that now.
Yeah. Now, I just wanted to put one more thing on the radar. If you're unable to make the Battle Worn Authentics equipment sale in person, there will be some online only offerings at VegasTeamStore.com beginning at 9 a.m. Pacific time on June 26th. So again, if you're in the market for it, if you're like Chapman and you want to find skates that maybe don't make your feet hurt because they're already worn in and they're worn in by professional hockey players, then you're in luck there. And not only that, but like it'd be so cool to like say, yeah, that stick, it's game worn. Like that's a Mark Stone stick right there. You know what I mean? Like, that's a really cool aspect of this, is you can get a little bit closer to the players, your favorite players, just by stopping by and taking a look at, you know, some of the equipment that's on sale.
Yeah, I mean, the sticks would be cool. I mean, even like the gloves, because they're inscribed with player numbers, and you know, you could maybe pick up a pair of gloves from your favorite player. Actually, those would be kind of cool. Like, even if you never wear them or use them, just to have as like a conversation piece, like put them out in the living room or something on display. People come over, they're like, are those Alex Petrangelo's gloves? And you're like, yeah, they are. Yeah.
Come on, Chapman. We all know that if you go to this thing, you're coming home with William Karlsson everything.
Oh, 100%. Like, I would buy his, well, I don't want his used skates. I would not want that. But like, if like.
Why not?
Because it's kind of gross. Like, I like to be a little hygienic, and someone else's skates, not exactly something that I'm into. But like, if the gloves are still in like a bag, like I don't want his used gloves either. Like to me, no. If guys have sweated
I would imagine. I would imagine they've been washed and cleaned.
Yeah,
like,
but
they're
still
worn,
it's,
but they're
it's,
not like.
You know, Turk just
They're
mentioned it being a mental thing. It's still a mental thing for me.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I can get over that. But like if there was like a like the nameplate that goes over his locker, like I would totally be on board with something like that. Or if there was a pair of pants of his that he hadn't worn, like I would totally be. I mean, I don't know how you would know. It doesn't say him.
How much gear do you think you need for like just skating?
I would like to have elbow and knee pads. After that,
okay.
I don't really think I would need much. I mean, it's not like I'm playing, so I don't need like pants like with loaded with pads. I mean, it'd be kind of funny to see me out there with those on, but like I think the socks would be kind of cool if they're not used. You know, just because you can. I have found wearing thinner socks is better than wearing thick socks. Mm-hmm. So, like, I wear thinner socks when I skate now. But, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that would be really cool to have.
I have to go skating with you.
Oh, it's...
This seems like...
You know,
I need to be involved
like
in.
Like, Darren and India and other people in the office, they, like, filmed me skating. I don't know what they did with it.
What?
Yes, because I was
filmed
out,
you skating?
Well, you know how there's, like, the office above the rink.
Yeah.
So
no, I know.
So one
yeah.
day I'm out there skating, and I see someone told Darren that I was here or I was there, and so
sure.
he came. I think actually yeah. I was texting him like, "Hey buddy, where you at?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm in the office." I'm like, "Oh, I'm out on the ice," and I see him come to the window, and he's out there with the camera like recording it, and India's there, GC is there, and I'm like, "Oh, that's interesting." Like, and I don't know what he ever did with it.
Well, I mean, he sent it to people, probably.
Yeah, look at the fat guy skating.
That's not cool, man.
I mean, that's me.
That's against the rules. No.
Oh,
what I'm saying
oh,
is,
I
like,
don't
it's,
think
not, it's not cool to, like,
I don't think
take
he
video.
Said it. I don't think he said that.
No. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not cool to take video of you while you're out there on the ice skating.
Yeah, I didn't give permission.
That's not cool.
I didn't give permission for that. Yeah.
You should ask Ash about that later on.
Yes.
What recourse can you take?
What's my recourse
against Mallard? Yes. All right. Well, this concludes an all over the place first segment on the VGK Insider Show. We'll take a break. Come back with Jamie Hirsch of NHL Network next on the VGK Insider Show. VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Wednesday. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman here with you. And joining us now is Jamie Hirsch from NHL Network. Jamie, a great friend of the show, one of our absolute favorite guests. Jamie, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Just got into Edmonton last night and on the road for the duration of the Stanley Cup final. So what could be better?
You're right on the money there. Like, it's Stanley Cup final. It's exciting. This time of year is always great. But you mentioned that you're in Edmonton, and certainly you found your way there, and the travel schedule has been really talked about a lot over the course of this series. What was the travel day like for you? Can you walk us through it? Because, you know, oftentimes we sit here and we talk about the players only, but it's not just the players that are going through it. It's everyone that's involved in the final, you included.
Yeah, it's everyone, and it really is wild. This is actually the farthest distance between two Stanley Cup final cities in history. Just over 2,500 miles, and yes, it's longer than between Vancouver and Boston, for those who remember that, about 13 years ago. So, you know, it's all good. It's all part of it, and it's kind of fun, in a sense, to kind of share war stories about getting here. But I was really lucky that I was able to be a part of the group that went on the NHL charter, so we didn't have to deal with the kind of stress about delays or you know, not making your connecting flight or anything like that. But that's not to say that we had any more control over the weather. And there was weather yesterday. So I left my hotel room about 7:15 Florida time. And we got to the airport, thought we were going to be wheels up at 9. And Mother Nature had other ideas. So we were about 2 hours delayed because they shut down the tarmac. And finally, we got on our way. We had to refuel in Kansas City. Stopped there for about an hour to refuel the small plane and then made it to Edmonton. But again, with the delay and everything, it took a long time. There were storms in Edmonton when we landed, and so it took a little longer than we thought to even get to the hotel. And kind of door to door, I added it up, and it was about 14 hours. So it was definitely a trip, and I was one of the lucky ones that, you know, didn't have to deal with connecting flights and this and that. So I felt very lucky in that sense, but it's all part of it. I'm sure you've already talked about this on the show, but the Panthers actually decided to stay an extra day, and that ended up being kind of a dicey decision because there was even worse weather today in Fort Lauderdale, and they just took off, I want to say, like 2 hours ago or something. So they're going to get in pretty late tonight for a Stanley Cup final game happening tomorrow at 6 o'clock local time here in Edmonton. But that was the decision that they felt was best. I feel like it probably had to do with trying to get Barkov the best rest possible because they really need him on the ice in order to have the same success against Connor McDavid and company tomorrow night. So I think I think he's probably going to go. And certainly we hope for the health and safety of all the players. We hope to see the best matchup on the ice. So hopefully he can go tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a geek, so I'm tracking their flight right now. They're up over like that Iowa, Nebraska, kind of where Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Minnesota meet. They're in that general area, so probably closest to Omaha right now. But anyway, so we saw today that like the Oilers and these guys travel so much that they all have their routines. But it sounds like Mario Kart is a big thing on the Oilers team charter. So. When you travel, because I know you obviously travel a lot for work, especially like a long flight, what is your routine like? Do you have like shows that you watch, or are you into the Mario Kart? I know you're a big fan of Vegas, so maybe some cards?
Yeah. I wish. We don't travel a ton right now with NHL Network because I'm mostly in studio and we do kind of the marquee events. When I travel, I'm big into movies. I really like to see whatever is new. You know, I'm a mom of two young kids, and so I don't have a lot of time to watch movies at home. So I feel like being on a flight is a great chance for me to have some me time and catch up on the movies that are out there. But yesterday was the exception because it was a charter. I sat next to all my coworkers and other people, you know, so it was really fun, but it was not a chance to, like, sleep or unwind or do anything to have some me time, because I sat next to Kevin Weeks, who I hadn't caught up with in probably a few weeks. And so we chatted the entire time. PK Subban came over. He started talking to us. Jason Demers, Mike Rupp, Mike Johnson, they were all sitting right near me. So it was really fun. It was definitely probably as close to like feeling like an NHL player as I will ever get, because we were just all kind of sitting around sharing stories, talking shop. But it was 7 hours of that. So I'm surprised I have a voice today.
So let's kind of dig in, obviously, to the Stanley Cup Final. The Florida Panthers have a 2-0 series lead as we shift focus and shift venues to Edmonton. It hasn't gone particularly well offensively for the Oilers. They were good in game one, but Bobrovsky was fantastic. Not so much in game number two. What are the adjustments that the Oilers need to make on home ice in order to get themselves back into this series?
You know, I think the biggest adjustment is just going to be finding ways to be a little less predictable. I think when you look at their power play, it's the best power play, right? It was the best power play regular season, best power play in the playoffs, and their penalty kill is amazing as well. But I don't know what's changed, if anything's changed, but it seems like Florida knows what's coming when Edmonton's on the power play. They're 0-7 in the series so far, and if you actually include the two games in the regular season that they met as well, the over 12. So Florida knows what they're doing. And so if I were Edmonton, I think I saw today Connor McDavid said something similar where he said, you know, I want us to just play by instinct, especially on the power play. Because right now I think Florida has done a great job of kind of figuring out Edmonton's tendencies. And if they're going to get three power play opportunities per game and they're not going to score on any of them, I mean, that's trouble for Edmonton. They're having just such a hard time generating any offense. I don't think any of us would have guessed that through two games of the series, they would have one goal, and it would not be a power play goal. It would not be a 5-on-5 goal. It was a 4-on-4 goal scored by Matthias Ekholm, of all people. So that is not Edmonton's game. That's not the way that they're going to win the cup if they're going to come back and do so. So I think kind of, again, playing a little more instinctively and a little less kind of by the book in terms of their power play could go a long way. And really, as far as the rest of it, they need some of their guys to step up. They can't just rely on Connor and Leon because Florida has found a way to shut them down. Now, coming back to Edmonton, they'll have the last change. They might be able to take advantage of a little better matchups than we've seen them through two games. But matchups only go so far, and Florida is the deeper team. You know, I think it was today we were just chatting about how it almost feels a little like last year, where the Oilers this year are last year's Panthers, where they were a great team and they had an amazing run. But then they got a little too banged up and they ran out of gas, and they faced a team that had, you know, deep playoff experience in Vegas and had a championship mentality and had the most incredible depth of a team that we've seen for a long time. That's Florida this year, right? Like, they feel like the team but just is not going to get beat. And I'm sure you guys had a similar sense last year with Vegas, where it was like, this is just too good a team to get beat. Like, they're going to win the cup. It's just a matter of in how many games. And sure enough, Vegas was able to close out in just five, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Florida do the same.
You mentioned being banged up a little bit and kind of running out of steam. Obviously, the news today with Noah Vander Kane, he came out but did not skate. And then Darnell Nurse also appearing to be nursing something, no pun intended. But what is the general feel in Edmonton if neither of those guys are going to be able to go tomorrow in game three?
Well, Darnell Nurse is going to play, at least according to Chris Knobloch today. You know, how much he'll be able to play is really the question. I think he played certain shifts that amounted to about 20 seconds of ice time. Because he was laboring down the stretch of game two. I mean, he's clearly hurt and comfortable, but they're not a deep team, especially on the back end. And, you know, Darnell Nurse has had an adventurous playoffs, is putting it nicely. You know, he's taken a lot of heat in the Edmonton media for not being very good this postseason. But that being said, like, he's a minutes eater. They need him to eat some minutes. They need him to be on the ice. And so I don't know how much he's going to be able to do or provide, but I do think he's going to be on that bench in some capacity, whether he's just there, you know, as moral support, more or less, or just going out there and gutting out a couple shorter shifts here and there. But it's a huge loss for them to not have him I do think Evander Kane will probably go too, but then you run into the question of, you know, there's been some talk about Edmonton going with 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. If that's the case, and you're already banged up with one of those defensemen, which is why you're going with 7, can you afford to have one of your 11 forwards very banged up too, like Evander Kane is? That's going to be the real question. And if they hold him out, I think that gives us our answer is, you know, they can't afford to have both Darnell Nurse and Evander Kane in the lineup, both unable to go much at all. So we'll see what ends up happening tomorrow. It sounds like Corey Perry is going to come back, and I like that move a lot. I was surprised they held him out of game 2. So we'll see if Edmonton can do kind of the unthinkable and play this banged up against a team that is as deep and as talented as Florida is and somehow come away with a win to get back on this series.
So the last one that I've got for you, I mean, we're only 2 games into the Stanley Cup final. Evan Rodriguez has 3 goals. Sergei Bobrovsky's been nearly unbeatable. I guess Conn Smythe favorites, again, we're only 2 games into this one here, but it feels like Sergei Bobrovsky's kind of catapulted his name to the top. And because the Panthers are so deep and they've got so many guys that are just kind of right in the same wheelhouse, it doesn't seem like there's a top contender up front outside of maybe Sasha Barkov.
Yeah, that's a great take by you. I mean, it has to be Sergei Bobrovsky in my mind. Like, there's no one else that's close at this point. All respect to Evan Rodriguez, but I don't expect him to continue to score 1 to 2 goals every single game if this goes 2, 3, 4 more games. I think, you know, with Matthew Tkachuk being pretty quiet, with Sam Reinhart being held off the score sheet, I think it has to be Bobrovsky. I mean, he's the reason they're up 2-0. Edmonton had every ounce of everything going for them, right? Like, they were firing on all cylinders. They had control of game 1. And the only reason they lost is because Bobrovsky was out of this world good. So I think Bobrovsky is the hands-down runaway favorite to win the Conn Smythe. And that even includes if he has a stinker of a game. You know, like, he could let in 5 and they lose 5-1 tomorrow and they come back win 4-5 and he's still going to be my Conn Smythe favorite.
All right, Jamie, last one before we got to let you go. Tomorrow is the 1-year anniversary of the Golden Knights winning the Stanley Cup. Now, I know you technically can't be a fan of this team, but you certainly are not you're not a hater. So through 7 years, what really stands out to you, and maybe what really stood out to you about this team last year?
Well, I think what I said before about the depth was just so apparent from early on that this team was the real deal. I mean, the fact that they had Chandler Stephenson, Mark Stone on their third line was just ridiculous, really. And they were so good. You know, the whole goaltending kind of war of attrition that they had to deal with using 5 different goalies last year. It just was such an amazing story. And, you know, you say I can't be a fan, but honestly, like, they give me a hard time every day on NHL Network for being a homer for Minnesota. And so we're kind of allowed to show our little favoritisms here and there. And actually, funny enough, we are moving to Vegas. That's some big news that not a lot of people know about. But my husband and I actually made the decision, partly because of how awesome the experience has been with me traveling out for the Cup Final, the Conference Finals, this and that, that we've just really fallen in love with the Summerlin area, and we're moving our family there next month. So I will very much be a Golden Knights fan, and already am. But yeah, I would say what stands out the most in the 7 years that they've been a franchise was kind of last year, their depth, their incredible story, the resiliency. But over the course of the 7 years, the biggest thing is how much they have just given back to the local community and how much they've embraced this whole Vegas-born mantra. And being out there, we closed on our house last month, actually, and everyone had a Golden Knights T-shirt, this, that. I mean, it was in April, and so the Golden Knights were actually playing. It was their second-to-last game of the regular season. We got to go. They beat the Blackhawks, and I was just blown away by how everybody throughout Vegas, you know, whether you're going to the grocery store or the bank or wherever, everyone had something Golden Knights on their license plates or whatever. And like that's incredible for a team that just started loving hockey, or for a city that just started loving hockey and having an NHL team 7 years ago. So I can't wait to be out there and let my Vegas Golden Knights fandom really shine through.
I feel
that's awesome.
I feel lucky in that I've known about this for like months and have.
Yeah,
I literally haven't
Chris,
told
little,
a soul.
Nuggets. Yeah, it's
that's,
been in the works
that's phenomenal
for about
stuff.
A year, so we're still finalizing kind of everything in terms of whether I'll be able to stay with NHL Network and kind of do a little bit more of a freelance deal, or, you know, I have a few other things in the works as well, so TBD on the official job announcement part of it, but yes, we've really just for our family decided that Vegas is where we want to be, where we want to raise our kids. Our son's going to start kindergarten there in August, and we can't wait to be closer to a lot of our family and the people that we love the most. So our new chapter is going to start soon.
You know, it's awesome, number one, to have you here in this community. But number two, Chris Chapman cannot keep a secret to save his life. And the fact that I just found this out right now is a testament to how much Chris values you and everything
well,
that you have.
Chris. What a...
yeah,
what
and everything
friend.
That you've...
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, you
sure.
said don't say anything, so I was like, well, I'm not going to say anything. So.
Yeah, thank you. I know. Like I said, it's a little bittersweet for NHL Network because, you know, I've been there 9 years, and it's certainly going to look a little different going forward. They're based in New Jersey, and it's not quite an easy commute from Vegas to New Jersey. So we're figuring all of that out. But, yeah, until it's all, you know, squared away, I didn't want to really say anything, but it is now official. We have the house. We have everything all set. So we're coming to Vegas July 1st. We'll be there.
Best time
That's
of
great
year,
stuff.
Too.
Jamie, we appreciate the time. Obviously, we know you're right in the thick of things in the Stanley Cup Finals. So enjoy games 3 and 4 up in Edmonton. And hopefully we can reconvene with you in the coming weeks before the end of the regular season or before the end of the season and, you know, before free agency starts.
That'd be great. Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jamie.
All right. That is Jamie Hirsch of the NHL Network and soon to be a Vegas resident. Great stuff there, Chapman. Good job on the booking. Good job on the keeping a secret. We are back with the Legal Minute. Ash Watkins, she's going to join us on the VGK Insider Show.
It's time for the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show.
If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234, or go to samandashlaw.com. We have Ash Watkins joining us here, as she does every single Wednesday. Ash, how you doing?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Zero
complaints. You know, I'm doing well, but I'll say this. I have had a little bit of time to cool down from yesterday.
Oh, he was fired.
I had a little bit of time to cool down from yesterday and the news that Joey Chestnut is not going to be at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest July 4th. I don't understand. I mean, I get it. I do. I understand why Nathan's and Major League Eating decided to ban the 16-time champion, but I don't appreciate it. I don't like it. So, for those that don't know, Joey Chestnut, and if you listen to the show, you know, he has been banned by Major League Eating from competing in the hot dog eating contest because Joey Chestnut has an endorsement deal with Impossible Foods, a plant-based rival of Nathan. So just legally speaking, is there anything here for Joey Chestnut to fight this ruling from Major League Eating and Nathan's?
It's really unlikely. The only thing I've been kind of thinking that might be there is if Joey Chestnut and his team can show that they have an email or a text message that they received from Major League Eating or Nathan's directly saying, look, go ahead, do your Impossible Foods deal. It's not going to impact your eligibility for the 4th of July competition. And then Joey's team turns around, enters the endorsement deal, and then suddenly, poof, they can't compete. If there was some type of, like, text message or email of that sort that shows that they relied on something Major League Eating or Nathan's had told them before entering this competitive or conflicting endorsement deal, that might be a lawsuit. But realistically, I don't think that exists.
So couldn't Nathan's and Major League Eating just say, all right, Joey, you've got this endorsement deal. Like, it is what it is. It's fine. you're not allowed to compete with Impossible Foods on your shirt. You're not allowed to mention Impossible Foods. If you agree to that, you can compete. Like, why can't we get there?
Yeah, I can't figure it out. And we don't get a lot of details from either side as to what the hang-up is, because Major League Eating is saying, look, we okayed Joey Chestnut doing the Netflix battle that just was released up in the fall. Mm-hmm. He's going to go head-to-head with Kobayashi again. So we were fine with that. The only thing we said was no competitive or competitor hot dog deals. So I guess maybe there's probably something where Joey's like, I can't promise that after I win, I'm going to get in front of a microphone and say, go get Impossible Dogs. So that's likely what the problem is.
So I guess maybe the hang up is that I'm having with this is we don't seem to have issues with this in other sports. Like if you watch NASCAR, like there could be a Pepsi car in the Coca-Cola 600, or if there's a Lowe's race, there's a Home Depot car. Like I don't understand why in some sports like UFC, guys have sponsorships with whomever they want, but they may have to wear Reebok in the octagon. So why does this work in other sports and this isn't a possibility in MLE? Is it strictly an MLE thing that they're the ones that are holding this up, or is there something more to it?
It's likely Nathan's. And I think the reason we're, mm-hmm. as a, I guess, a fandom so hung up on it is it's the 4th of July. Like, we live for this. You
yes.
know, this is on ESPN, national coverage. This is not just the county fair. So I think that's why everyone's so caught up in this. But yeah, I think this really comes down to Nathan's, and Nathan's is likely the one that's saying no. Like, this is, we pay X amount of dollars for this partnership, for this event, and there is no way we're going to allow a likely winner to get up there and mention a competitor hot dog. And so I think that's why you don't see it with other sports. You know, we had the Heineken Grand Prix here in Vegas, but, you know, Lewis Hamilton, he doesn't drink alcohol. He has his own competitor, non-alcoholic agave spirit. You know, a lot of these drivers, they wear other watches. And, you know, there's all these sponsorships and conflicts, but there's just such a tie between Nathan's and this competition that I think they're not allowing it.
Okay. Can a plant-based hot dog really be considered a competitor in this situation?
I say no, but Nathan's is giving them more press by this. I mean,
yes.
Impossible Dogs is getting more play out of this banning of Joey Chestnut than ever would have existed if they just let him get up mm-hmm. there and probably say a few words about it after he won. Because most people watch, see the total count, and then they change the channel. They're not waiting for all the afterwards and all the talk and, you know, post celebration. So I think Nathan's has blown this up bigger than it really ever should have been.
Yeah,
okay.
You know,
so we're a couple of weeks out from it. Do you get the sense that the